Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
I have a wonderful little story for you and our listeners today that I'd love to share.
Do tell.
So, as you know, Brett and I have been watching Gilmore Girls slowly but surely, sifting through it. And last night, we finally got to Star-Crossed Lovers and Other Strangers.
Ooh.
And I have been waiting for us to get to this episode. Because, of course, you know, I think everything building up to that episode is a lot of storytelling, world building. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we hit, like, Rory's dance, that's when the conflict really kicks it up a notch.
Yeah.
But Star-Crossed Lovers and Other Strangers is a huge turning point in season one.
This is Tara's ep. This is the one.
This is my episode. Yep. He wanted to watch it last night after we watched Basketball.
Basketball. You guys, that's the weirdest thing I know about Tara. Tara loves basketball.
Well, it's only a recent development because of my relationship.
Wait, I thought you liked basketball already. Is this a relationship like?
Well, I started watching basketball last year with Brett when we were just friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes more sense. I thought you were just a basketball girly.
I like
nothing
basketball.
Against basketball girlies.
No, I like it. I think it's really exciting to watch. I'm more of a baseball person. I grew up, my family
baseball
loves
pants.
Baseball.
Oh, you like the sport? Like baseball pants. Boys in baseball pants.
Oh, boys in baseball pants are great, but...
See, I like baseball because it's baseball pants. I love crowd participation and I like drinking.
There you go.
So, like, that's fun.
Yeah, baseball to me is a good time. I know a lot of people find it to be boring. I actually find football to be boring, and I was a cheerleader for many moons, as you know.
I used to have to be told if we were on offense or defense.
Right? I was like,
what
are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Had no idea. It's because I don't understand it. So that's the next phase of our relationship is Brett and I are going to be watching football together. So not as exciting, but...
Well, in the meantime, you get to watch Gilmore Girls.
Yes. And it's been wonderful to watch it with somebody who has absolutely no frame of reference. And also, Brett's very smart. He's very in tune with... You know,
he understands the storyline.
Yeah, storytelling 100%. He predicts what's going to happen by the end of the episode as soon as the episode starts.
I love doing that.
But interestingly, Star-Crossed Lovers and Other Strangers, he said, was his favorite Lorelai episode. He's been like very unsure about how he feels about Lorelai, but understanding her more as the series unfolds, of
Interesting.
Course.
Interesting.
But he really genuinely thought that Dean was going to try to pressure Rory into having sex with him.
Oh.
That he did not see it going the direction that it went in. So we finally get to the moment in the episode.
Did he know that this was what, like, your viral TikTok-ness came from?
No, I didn't tell him till after the episode. So we get to the big moment. And
in the car.
We're in the car.
He thought it was going to happen in a junkyard?
I don't know. He was kind of, I was watching him watch the episode. It's one of my favorite things to do. And he was like, I could tell he was like, where is this going? And then when she doesn't say I love you back and he starts like laying into her, when he said the line, what do you want to go home and talk to your mom about it? Make a pro con list. Literally, Brett clutched his pearls. He went, oh my God. So then she goes home. Lorelai's there. She calls Max, who Brett can't stand Max. And then literally the episode ends and he just turns to me and goes, Dean sucks. And I was like, yes.
What's good of a t-shirt?
I told him about, I said, so this was actually the video that like went viral on
Did
TikTok.
You show him?
No. I just told him about it. And he was like, this is where it starts. This is where it starts in young boys. We cannot teach young girls that this behavior is okay.
So your boyfriend hates Dean. Meant to be. Match made in heaven.
God.
With like everyone else in the Gilmore Girls fandom.
I know. I was trying not to give spoilers too. I was like, it only gets worse from here. And he was like, stop it. And I was like, well, I'm just giving you a warning. Like, it's not going to get any better. And
yeah, like the height of him was in Cinnamon's Wake and that was, then it was
And over. Then it was dead. What I love most about watching the show with Brett is that I'm getting like such a fresh perspective on all of the characters and their storylines.
Which is why I kind of want to get my brother to watch it because he like has like a peripheral understanding of the show. But I just want to have someone in my life that like is watching this for the first time.
Yeah.
So I'm like living vicariously through your and Brett's rewatch of the show.
I'm also loving the way that like he's jiving with some characters but not jiving with others. And one of the characters we haven't really talked too much in depth about is Lane, because like he likes the relationship between the two of them. I think he clocked very early on that she has a more mature energy to her, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that like Keiko is a little bit older than Alexis Bledel. She's a little bit closer in age to Lorelai, and so I think that sometimes that energy can come across because she is playing a high schooler and she's playing it incredibly well. But like,
do you think that ultimately helped Alexis Bledel to like adapt quicker to the show like being surrounded by people who were older than her, because like ultimately like she is like the youngest person there, like not only in just like the fact that she is like the teenager, but like the other teenager that she's around is actually played by a 27-year-old. We have like Lauren Graham, who like has talked about how like sometimes Alexis wouldn't know where to go, so she'd like hook her around the arm and like carry her there. When on our Patreon episode we were talking about how in like the unaired pilot to the pilot, like the dynamic between Keiko and Alexis like really improved. It really did there. And I wonder how much of that had to do from like Keiko, who was like, you know, this wasn't her first job at 27 or however old she was when she did this. That like, I wonder how much of that was her like helping, like guiding Alexis, like, because like half of like acting in like those situations is your scene partner. Like, imagine it was like Alexis and like someone playing Lane who was like equally as fresh faced as she was. I feel like we would have ended up with like some Disney Channel sort of like,
definitely Disney Channel energy
vibes. No offense to Disney Channel, but
no, not to knock it, I grew up watching
but a
it.
Little bit of offense.
But I also wonder though what that would have looked like for her storyline, because I feel like Lane's energy and subsequently the energy that Keiko brings to the character like really lent itself to a very, very interesting storyline. And something we were talking about in the last episode is that we didn't feel like Lane got the storyline that the audience really wanted for her. And so it's kind of a bummer, because I don't know, I just wanted more for her. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about today, right?
She's the coolest character on the show. Like, hands down, like, she had, like, the best, like, I know she was a supporting character, so a lot of the times, like, she couldn't get fully fleshed out, like, in the thing she was going through. But, like, the fact that, like, she was, like, the drummer, but her whole dream was to be a musician, and, like, she was, like, everyone hates on her, like, online for being such a music snob, but I love that about her, that she can just, like, reference, like, any album ever.
And that's kind of where it started. Like, she didn't know that she wanted to be a musician. She was just obsessed with music. That's kind of what we get from her all the way up until the end of season two, when Sophie's music shop is about to open, and she's like, you know what? I think I'm gonna be a drummer. Like, I think that's my calling. And it's just so, it was so cool the way that they were about to take her storyline and, like, really amp it up. She was about to, like, explore actually being a musician, not just being on the outskirts of knowing so much about it. She found a band, she joined a band, she left home, and then,
and that was kind of it,
right? Is that where, I'm so curious to know where you feel like her storyline sort of took a turn and why they couldn't get it back, quote unquote, on track, or on the track that we thought that it belonged.
No, because I feel like that's in part because, like, we have to mention that, like, Lane Kim is based on Amy's friend and, like, producer on the show, Helen Pye, who her life and kind of like her upbringing inspired Lane and Mrs. Kim. And so I would, like, be so interested to have her on, because I feel like the parts of that I have heard or seen that Lane's life is inspired by Helen, that, like, kind of like once those seem to, like, maybe, like, peter off, that that's kind of where, like, once they took her in, like, a new direction away from, like, the inspiration, because it's not, like, of course it's not, like, exactly the same, but I would be interested to, like, hear her perspective of, like, where Lane's character went wrong, because, like, I know we all have our opinions on it, but to me it seems like,
or if she felt like Lane's character went wrong.
That's true. I did not consider that maybe she was, you know, very
on board
the direction that it went.
Yeah, because I think that when you're so close to a project, it's easy to be like, yeah, this makes sense because of X, Y, and Z. And as a fandom, I mean, that's part of the reason why we're here, why we talk about this, because as a fandom, you're looking at it so differently. You're focused on just so many different factors that sometimes writers don't really take into consideration.
Yeah, or on the other end, that, like, we don't realize the considerations that the writers took into what they were doing. But, like, if anyone could be on the show, I would love to have her on to talk about, like, Lane and, like, the representation of Mrs. Kim and how she felt like that, like, took from her own mom, because I know that, like, she went to, like, a Seventh-day Adventist college. She married a man named Dave Rogowski. And so it just feels like once all of the, like, pieces of her life got, like, taken out of the storyline, Lane's storyline kind of, like, dipped. That's just from my external perspective of, like, how that happened. So I would be interested to see how that played into all of that.
Me too.
And how she felt about, like, how Lane and Mrs. Kim and everyone were portrayed from her storyline.
Yeah, if it was, like, a true representation of her relationship with her mom, or a projection of what she wanted with her mom, what she wanted...
Or what Amy, like, gathered from, like, the stories that she had told. Because it's obviously not going to be exactly the same. And you wouldn't want it to be.
No, definitely not. But, yeah, I'd be really fascinated to hear about that. But from our perspective, I'm really curious. You sort of spoke to this in the last episode where you felt like Lane's story took a turn. Where was that for you?
I think it was the moment that the tension broke in season 4 and Mrs. Kim found out about Lane's alternate life. Mm. Like when she like pulled up all the floorboards, opened that closet, which is just what we've talked about this on the Patreon. Like, how does she not know that like Lane's closet is a disco?
I know.
She just has to open the doors. That's neither here nor there because Lane went to CBGB and didn't tell her she was gone and called everyone in town.
Yeah.
And the fire department was there. I think the moment that the tension broke for that and she was no longer leading her double life and she kind of could live like freely, I think that's where it went downhill because they took out the tension that was like simmering and making it so worth watching that once she was kind of like smooth sailing, I don't feel like they knew what to do with it.
Yeah.
So like kind of from that moment way down to the revival, like it was all downhill from there.
You know, it's interesting because I agree with you to a certain extent, because when you remove tension from a storyline, that's when you're not as excited anymore, right? We felt that way about Lorelai and Luke, or we called that into question of like once they decided they were going to be in a relationship, like where did it go wrong? Because that tension went away. Same with Jess and Rory. The tension of the two of them being together and then them actually being together were two very different things. And the same can be spoken to about Lane's storyline. I really feel like it started to sink down in season 6.
It like hit the ground and then it just like found a sinkhole. Because like season 5, it was downhill.
But season 5, at least you kind of got a glimpse into the potential of what her life could be if she was actually pursuing a career as a musician.
I think it was more so some of the choices that they made with that,
right,
that I felt like it was not as good as like the build that we had been getting. That like at that point, it was like it felt like they made all easy choices for her.
Mm.
And like the conflicts weren't so... The conflicts became really silly things.
The overall conflict was that she wasn't speaking to her mom.
Yeah.
And we kind of got that as a precursor to Rory not speaking to her mom in season 6. But it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't as exciting because they're B characters. And that doesn't mean to say that we don't care about them, but it just hits different. I, however, feel that they could have used that little dip of tension to then swing them upwards when Mrs. Kim decided to help them get this gig and do this tour. And, you know, they take the van out and that's kind of what happens between seasons 5 and 6, right?
Yeah.
For me, where I feel like it really, really, really went south is, you know, in The Undergraduate, that's when you see Happy Alien for the first time. They're closing out their tour.
Yep.
Lane reveals that she has been skimming off the top in a really big way, and she has saved them about $9,000. That's a huge deal for a band to walk away with that much money, with almost $10,000 in their pocket. And she's like, we can record. We can drop an album. Like, that's kind of the nitty gritty of being an artist, is making those sacrifices and having, like, kind of having to be down in the trenches in order to, you know, pop back up.
And it would, like, it took Lane to, like, you know, like, kind of lie to them a little bit so that they would, like, come home with money. And, like, they did suffer for it. But, like,
they,
I think she did the right thing. They were man babies anyways.
They were. Like, but she totally did the right thing. Right. And she was always the one to take the band by the horns, if you will.
Yeah.
Even though there was not a horn section. She took the band by the horns. So then, so for me, where it really, really starts to go downhill is in Always a Godmother, Never a God. Zach and Brian steal the money. They go and buy this like random recording equipment. They never wrap up that storyline. What ended up happening?
One of the huge things of Lane's storyline, because like I know that we want to have a plot holes episode to like talk about like all of like the huge like where did this go moments, is like so many of them fit into Lane's storyline.
Yeah.
And it's like, what happened to the recording equipment? What happened to the fact that she went to Sophie Bloom, played by Carole King, because she saw her on a record and Sophie Bloom was going to mentor her?
Yeah.
You know, like what happened
so
there?
So many missed opportunities.
Even the fact that Dave's storyline just like petered off and they never really broke up.
Yeah.
Or like even the fact that her dad Where's Mr. Kim?
Yeah.
It's like all of these little pieces. There are missing storylines.
Loose ends.
From Lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of loose ends. How did that happen? Yeah. And one of them is the fact that Zach and Brian went out and just bought all this equipment without asking her, without sharing it with her. And this is kind of the start of Zach taking the lead and acting like this is his band. And then in He Slippin' Em Bread Dig, that's when things really fall apart. Zach's like writing songs about other women, and Lane makes a comment about it, and then Brian writes a song about Lane. Zach gets all upset, and then all hell breaks loose because of Zach's ego.
And like that's what's so annoying about that storyline is that like it feels so almost like, I don't want to say dumb, but like the tension is that Zach is like jealous that Brian wrote a song about Lane and that Brian's like seemingly into Lane, and he gets an ego about it. And
I mean, they really center it around Brian and like Zach being upset about Brian. But what it really is about Zach being territorial. He's starting to be like, this is mine and this is mine and this is mine. And it's like the band, it's Lane, it's the control over the set list. It's all of it.
Bring in that man with the tambourine.
Oh my God.
And the Gwen Stefani mic.
Yes. And there's a label there that wants to maybe scout them. And he single-handedly ruins it. And after all is said and done, Lane takes him back. And that to me...
with like nothing.
With very minimal effort from Zach, she takes him back. And
that
to me was number one where the storyline like really drilled into the ground. Because she had an opportunity to go elsewhere, be a part of a different band, or just be in a band with Brian and Gil and find a different guitarist.
I think that, like, for so much of season six for me is, like, Rory and Logan, of course. That, like, why did Lane just not be like, okay, I'm going to go be a drummer for someone else.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. I'm going to go to California. The last place that Dave Rogowski was seen. And it just like, they had so many opportunities.
Well, and they started to with her putting up flyers saying like, I'm a drummer and I'm looking for a band. And Zach takes the flyers down. Zach, we'll get into this later. But like, he is part of the reason that her storyline really, really was drilled into the ground.
Yeah.
But I think that the crux of it all is that Lane never sought out any other opportunities. She tried so hard to control what was going on with Happy Alien. And I think she did a fantastic job for the most part. She was the one that took Gil on and he was... Mm-hmm. Amazing. I'm sorry.
I love Gil.
Much better than Zach. And also just a better character. He was so much fun to watch. And then she saves the band all of that money. And literally, Zach is the one to ruin it all. And she goes back to him. And then once they get married.
Oh my God. Here's this character who like, you've like already ruined her storyline so much. And now you're not even going to let her enjoy sex. It just, the way that that happened was just so, at this point, all of the tension that happens in Lane's storyline, I think, starting with You Jump by Jump Jack, every single tension that's there is mostly for comedic relief. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's like Zach ripping down the drummer flyers, you know? Like, I mean, there is like the storyline that she has with Mrs. Kim where she like sits her down in the kitchen and makes her drink and she's like, you're gonna be fine now. And like, she kind of like tries to get her spirits back up because Lane is turning into like a, you know, shadow of herself once her and Zach break up. But yeah, when we get to season seven, and like my only like, I guess like redeeming factor of how much they messed up Lane in season seven is that they messed up everyone's storyline. But like Lane most especially, and I do know that Amy has said before that when she went to like write the revival, like the hardest storyline for her to come back from was Lane's, because she never saw that sort of path for Lane. Because the last thing that we hear from, like, if you're like a Paladino purist of the show, is that Lane is off on her honeymoon, you know, like, and the first thing that they have her do is she's like pregnant, didn't enjoy sex, and her whole storyline is that she's having twins and is also wife to a toddler. Yeah. And it's like, I think Mrs. Kim is also the one at some point that steps in and like takes control of things yet again, which I love that relationship between the two of them. I think they could have built that out more.
Yeah.
So like my only like redeeming thought about the fact that they ruined Lane's storyline so severely is that like they ruined everyone's storyline very severely.
It's unfortunate because like even if they decided that she was going to have twins or have babies at all.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think they could have changed about the finale and about the way that in Unto the Breach, they like kind of wrap up Lane's storyline with Zach. They kind of like bring it to a little bit of a resolve is that Zach now has an opportunity to go out with the band Vapor Rub on this 2-month tour. And he's so excited. He's like, I'm going to bring you and the kids and it's going to be great. And then she decides that she's going to stay home with the kids because it's too much. Yeah. I would have loved if Lane got an opportunity to go on tour with a band and Zach stayed home with the kids.
Why is that not the story? Or that Zach should have been out on the road.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Or yeah. If Amy had done something to that effect to like bring it full circle in the revival.
Oh my God. See, this was, so I had a series on TikTok last summer where I was like kind of trying to like reimagine people's like storylines. And one of them was Lane's. And I feel like with this like mother-daughter show, the thing with like Lane and Mrs. Kim is that we're really getting like a parallel from Lorelai here. We're getting like a very oppressed teenage years, like trying to rebel and ultimately, you know, getting pregnant at a young age. I think 22 is like not the same as 16, but it's still relatively very young. And I think that in the revival, there was like a total opportunity to like drop the musical and expand Lane's storyline and like tell the mother-daughter relationship that's there. Like, I think that the storyline there should have been Mrs. Kim helping Lane to see that she is both a person and a mother and she can be a drummer and have like dreams for herself, but she can also like hope to be the best mother possible. And like Mrs. Kim would have helped her. And like, if it's not Hep Alien going out on tour, I imagine Lane going off being a drummer and Zach and Mrs. Kim being there to support her, yeah. You know, of like Mrs. Kim taking care of the kids, of like, you know, leaving the shop to Mr. Kim. Mr. Kim is finally back off the road of wherever he's been.
Yeah.
And he can take care of the antique shop. Yeah. And like, it's like, would have been like a storyline of like Lane struggling with wanting to get back into music and not feeling like she was showing up for her kids. But ultimately, Mrs. Kim would be the one to like show her that like, you can be a rock star and you can be a mom. And those two things don't have to like take from each other. Yeah. They can like feed each other with the right help. Yeah. Honestly, in this storyline, her and Zach have amicably divorced and they have like a very good co-parenting situation.
Yeah, of course, because that's what we all want for Lane. But I agree. I think that this trope of like, when you become a mom, you have to only be a mom is the one thing that I can't get down with. You can be more than just a mom.
But we don't even see that from Lorelai, you know? Like, she has a whole dynamic life outside of Rory. And, like, I know that, like, a lot of, like, what she does is centered around Rory. It makes sense. That's her kid. Mm. She opens an inn.
Yeah.
Like, she has, like, a, you know, vibrant love life. Like, just, like, everything that's going on in her life. She's not just a mom. And I think that as much as she, like, feels that she is, her storyline is expanded beyond that. And no one ever had to, like, tell her that, like, you're more than a mom. She just kind of was.
Yeah.
Because she always saw herself as, like, her kid's best friend. And I think that was part of it. Yeah. But, like, to have a character who so cleanly parallels Lorelai without much effort, just because that's how her storyline kind of falls, to have her just kind of, like, end up in Stars Hollow. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. And, like, I know a lot of people like Lane's storyline and where it ends up in the revival because it is really unrealistic that, like, you're so obsessed with music. I was about to say in season one, but I just mean when you're young.
Yeah.
Like, you're so obsessed with music when you're young. You see a drum set, which, that's another plot hole. How did Lane get her drum set? How did she afford that and then bring it to Lorelai's garage? But anyways, get a drum set, start a band, like, and actually achieve what you want to from
that. Right, and that was something else I was going to say, that, like, I'm not saying that we had to take Lane's storyline and, like, you know, make it, like, a hey now, this is what dreams are made of. Like, you are now a drummer in a rock band and you are famous.
In Italy.
Yeah. Like, we're not, like, Haley James Scotting this. Everything, you know, has to be realistic because that's what Amy's writing is. It's filled to the brim with conflict and obstacles. And so it makes sense that it's okay that this girl absolutely loved music, decided to become a drummer, and, like, is in a local band in Connecticut. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just more about the fact that there were so many bumps along the way that were just like, wow, this was so avoidable from a writing perspective.
Yeah. And I do like that, like, she is, you know, playing at the secret bar with Zach, and, like, Hep Alien is still rocking. But it just, it felt weird because, like, I feel like Lane was such a dynamic character who, regardless of the fact that she was a supporting character and, like, everything she did was really to support Rory's storyline, she had her own, you know, arc that didn't have anything dependent on any other characters. And it was like her whole own thing that to get to the revival and kind of have her just like fade into the background of like townies that are there and just like be playing at the secret bar, just be someone that Rory like is like crash landing in her house just to further Rory's plot and, like, Rory's chaotic life, and I guess kind of parallel the fact that, like, Lane seemingly has it more together and, like, Zach has, like, a day job. But, like, there's so many places they could have been, like, Mrs. Kim helps take care of the kids, Zach has a day job to pay for things, and Lane, she's a rock star in a local band. The local band gets discovered, and Lane has to make a decision to, like, you know, remember when the Town Troubadour was going to open for Neil Young?
Yeah.
They could have, like, written something like that for Lane, where, like, her band was seen by, like, a, you know, like a D-list rock star who wanted them to open for their tour, and Lane has to decide if she's gonna stay and take care of the kids or if she's gonna go rock, and ultimately she decides to go rock. Like, I feel like there's so many ways they could have taken that, like, I know that it feels like almost like too perfect, but I feel like that's kind of where all the supporting characters rested, is like, I feel like all of the supporting characters get, like, you know, fun, silly lives. And I honestly think it would have been cool to have, like, once again Lane and what's her name Lane and Rory's storyline sort of paralleling, of like, they're in this shift, in this place of transition in their life. And I think that's kind of what the revival was lacking in, is that, like, we were too focused on Rory and Lorelai, that no one else's storyline was really informing theirs in the way that it was in the early seasons, of like in the season 5 finale, where, like, Lane is, like, on this path and, like, she has to, like, seek advice from her mom, and Rory's on this path and has to seek advice from her mom, and ultimately Mrs. Kim helps Lane, and, like, they go on tour, and then ultimately Rory does not get the help that she wants and ends up at her grandparents. And I think that having something like that in the revival to, like, build the tension for other storylines by, like, having the similar energy would have been so good.
Yeah,
because it, like, her storyline was so right from the beginning, you know?
Yeah,
because we had in season 1, she's just, like, so obsessed with music, leading this double life. Why would we not then have her in the revival once again, openly leading a double life?
Yeah, successfully leading a double life.
Of, like, being a mom by day and being a rock star by night. That felt like that's where her storyline was going.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought they were trying to do in season 4, when they finally had the big reveal of, like, Mrs. Kim opening up the closet and pulling up all the floorboards, and, like, we think, okay, it's finally out there. Like, at some point she's going to have a good relationship with her mom and be able to pursue a career in music. And I guess that happened in, like, a really benign way, but I don't think in a satisfying enough way for the fandom to feel like Lane's storyline went in a direction that really served the character, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that I think, even though we've been kind of talking about how her storyline, like, really needed improvement in a variety of ways, you know, in our opinion, the one thing that they did get right, and we've spoken to this before, is that I think that her relationship with her mom is without question one of the most beautiful storylines on this series.
For sure.
So I think that they got something right there, and especially because this show is about mother-daughter relationships, that's huge. But that wasn't the only satisfaction that we needed from Lane's storyline. We needed a different resolve than just the fact that she has this beautiful arc with her mom. That's so important, but we needed more.
And I think it only would have benefited the arc with her mom to, like, have this double life that she was leading, like, this Hannah Montana life, and then to have her have this moment with her mom in season 4 in the Clamor and the Clangor when she discovers all these things, and then, like, build back to having, again, the Hannah Montana life of, like, mom by day or whatever by day, rock star by night, openly in front of her mom with her mom accepting it.
Yeah.
And I, like, even just saying that, I was like, oh, that's so, like, afternoon special.
But,
like,
again, it kind of happened at the beginning of season 6 when they go on the tour. Like, that's why I feel like the beginning of season 6 is where they really fucked this up, is because her mom finally accepts it at the end of season 5. She's the one to encourage her. No, you're not giving up on your dreams. You're going on tour. And they go on this very, you know, of course, it's not like...
it's through a bunch of churches.
Yeah. It's not like the ideal tour, but it's a start.
It's a start. It's Mrs. Kim's version of I am helping you get on your way. And they fucking made almost $10,000.
And that was an incredible, like, jumping off point for that to expand into something else. And again, what we love about Amy's writing is that it is realistic. It doesn't always mean that that has to lend itself to a storyline where she then becomes a rock star, or where Hep Alien, like, makes it big. But you know what I mean? I just feel like it could have been different for her.
Yeah, I totally agree with you now. I feel like it's only in retrospect that season 5 feels like the decline, because it almost feels like with the explosion of season 4, you kind of had to coast for just a minute to, like, rediscover what the tension was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, have her have a little, like, fling, whatever, with Zach, that, like, it's really only that when we look back at, like, where season 6 ended up, I'm like, well, that was just, that was the highlight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that part when you thought it was, that was, like, us building back up to something.
Exactly.
And then, you know, her, like, whole season 6 storyline is just, like, they, like, the band breaks up. She's, like, sad and upset and mopey and yelling at everyone at the antique
because
store.
Because she and Zach break up. She goes through a lot of breakups in season 6.
And then they get back together. Why?
Yeah, that's where it gets really messy for me. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that she's with Zach in the first place. Because I really think that if she had had a fling with him, like you said, in like season 5, it had just been like, hey, is there something here? I don't even know why they went down that path. It's like, could you have not found someone else for Lane that wasn't like the guy standing right next to Dave Rogowski? Like, literally, we didn't just have to take 2 steps to the left. But if Zach was a better character, if we got more growth out of Zach, I think that I would have been more
man
on board.
Baby.
But that is
a man baby.
Child.
I don't even know if we should degrade childs like that. Childs. Children.
Come on, childs.
Well, okay. So I like this storyline of Zach and Lane, like, being like, is there something here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, doing the date kissing and being like, no, there's not at all. And then maybe the tension is, like, Zach then writes a song about Lane, and Lane feels like it's about her, and it's not. Like, you know, like, I feel like that could have been something. And then they just move on.
Yeah.
They just, like, tried it. That, like, I feel like that would have been a better
I completely
spot.
Agree.
And, like, maybe her storyline could have been more with like, Sophie Bloom. And then maybe, like, Sophie Bloom brings, like, someone into town and Lane meets them and it's, you know, the best man for her bar none. Because I feel like I really love the way that like season 1 and season 2 pans out for Lane in terms of like her love interests. Because like if there's anyone on the show who's boy crazy, it's Lane Kim.
Yeah.
And of course it's the girl who's like not allowed to date anyone.
Yeah, but boy crazy in a very subtle way. Not in a way where it's like Madeline and Louise. Like, oh,
it's not Madeline Louise. It's more of like cutie crush, like with her friend Rory, because she's like, I ran my fingers through Todd's hair.
Yes.
Like that whole thing.
She's like, I'm in love with him. And I'm like, baby girl, aw.
She always is in love. Like, always something going on. And so, like, I feel like as much as they got her wrong, like, kind of, like, at that point from, like, season 4, 5-ish could have been better, 6 for sure. Her first, like, 3.5 seasons are so good.
Oh, yeah.
And part of it is, like, because we have that tension of, like, leading the double life of, like, when she's on double date, we know that, like, she's not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, really wants to be. And, like, she's, like, willing to risk it all for Todd, who has great hair.
Yeah.
And then she ends up, like you were talking about before, in the episode after Star-Crossed Lovers and Other Strangers is the breakup part 2, and she goes to the party at Madeline or Louise's house.
Madeline's parents' house. Her stepdad's house.
How did she end up being allowed to go there?
Yeah, I was thinking about that last night while we were watching the episode, because I was like, Lorelai suggests that Lane goes with her, even though Lorelai knows Lane's mom would never let her go to a party and be out till midnight. So Lorelai is like subtly encouraging Lane to lie to her mom.
That's something that I love about Lorelai is like, Lorelai won't let Lane lie to her mom. Because it's like the mom code. Like, because when she's at Yale in season 4, like when she ultimately like just leaves for CBGB, and this is when like the whole thing, like the reveal comes, Lorelai's like, no, I have to call Mrs. Kim, I can't keep this a secret. Or like even in double date, she's like, I'm sorry, I can't keep things from Mrs. Kim. And then Lane goes to this party and she's like, yeah, girls, go.
Yeah, go have fun. If you're not gonna be home before midnight, call me. Like, what?
Yeah. I guess because she's like spending the night at Rory's house that she just sits to like go do stuff. But like if I was Mrs. Kim and like was that strict about Lane, I'd be calling Lorelai's house every hour.
Oh, yeah. Especially because this is not too long after double date.
Yeah. So I always wonder about that. But that's where she meets Henry. I really love the storyline with Henry. Because it's just like that goes on for so long, and like this is when like we get like Rory being a good friend of like trying to help her date this guy that she's not supposed to, and like they like call on the phone to Rory's house so they can talk, and like they make the like plans to like drive around the town square and a Tisket a Tasket, and like everything's seemingly like going fine, but like Henry ultimately ends things with her because he asks someone else to
the prom.
And in that moment, your heart breaks so much for Lane.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's trying so hard for this guy, and he doesn't really see it. And, like, it's understandable.
Of course.
He's a teenage boy. He wants to be able to date his girlfriend openly.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's hard for him. So when he breaks up with her, it's, like, one of those things of, like, I hate Henry. But it's, like, I understand Henry.
I get it.
And this is the moment when she's, like, thinking, like, if I tell my mom everything, maybe it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not fine.
No.
And this is, I feel like it's kind of like a precursor to like her finding everything out, because she doesn't find out everything, but she tells her about Henry, right?
She does.
Her response is to ground her, and she's kind of just cool with it. And I think that's something that's like really, I'm not generous on Lane's part, but like she really loves her mom.
Yeah.
And she really wants to do right by her mom.
But that storyline made no sense to me. Why wouldn't she just tell her mom? You know, when we watched the breakup part two last night, and you know, she's going on and on to Rory about, like, I'm falling for a guy that my parents would approve of. She's like, I have to leave. I have to go. And, like, she spends basically an entire season, because if you think about it, this is, like, middle to end of season one, and A Tisket, A Tasket is in the middle of season two. So, like, she spends an entire season trying to date this guy and doesn't tell her parents, even though he literally on paper and in person is the perfect man for both her and yeah. her parents. I think she says something to the effect of, like, if I tell them about him and they like him, he's going to be totally tainted for me. Like, something to that effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because, like, her mom will be, like, totally behind her marrying him.
Yeah.
It would ruin the magic of it. I think that, like, the Henry moment is, like, one of the best sort of, like, indicators of where, like, the tension lies in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
Because after that, Lane's storyline doesn't really go anywhere until Lane discovers Sophie's music shop.
Yeah.
Right? Where she's like, they're opening this music store in Stars Hollow, and she's like jazzed about it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that it's a deep interest that Lane has in something that's not a boy that ultimately brings her to
Dave.
A boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Dave.
And then subsequently another boy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to say his name. But yeah, you're right. That's so fascinating, because I never really think of Lane as boy crazy, but she, you know, she's a teenage girl. Like, weren't we all just like crushing on everybody left, right, and center? But
yeah, I mean, I wasn't running my hand through Todd's hair.
I personally wasn't either, but I'm not going to say I didn't want to sometimes. She's just, oh, she's the cutest for the first few seasons. She's one of my favorite characters throughout, but I just love watching her growth. What's interesting, though, is that, like, when she does meet Dave, it's all very different. It changes. Like, it's not the same as it was with Henry or with Todd or with, what's the guy whose name she, what's the name of the guy whose hair hands she runs through her hair?
It's not Todd?
Rich Blumenfeld.
Oh,
Todd is the guy she goes on a date with.
Oh, you're right. Oh, because he's the one that's in band.
Yeah, he's in the marching band.
Because there's that scene in Love and War and Snow when she's talking about dating a bandmate. And she's talking about how that could potentially be bad for the band.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because seasons later, That's exactly the argument.
Well, she does it with Dave, and that's the exact argument that she and Zach have in He's Slippin' Him Bread Dig, when Zach is like, maybe two people in a band just shouldn't date. And she just like stands there and is like, yeah.
You're like, well, you're the first person to have a problem with it, Zach.
Yeah.
It was fine otherwise.
Every other time I've done this has been totally cool.
Yeah. Maybe not with Rich.
And, you know, obviously it doesn't end up working out with Dave. And I don't even know if, like, do Brian and Zach ever find out if she and Dave are together?
That's another plot hole in all of this, is that, like, did they find out that they were together? Like, how did they actually end? Because it's kind of just, like, peters off.
Yeah.
Because, like, to give Lane's storyline Zach Van Gerbig, is that what his last name is? To give her him after Dave Rogowski felt like bad storytelling. Like, you're telling me that you just gave this character Dave Rogowski, and then the next thing that you wrote was Zach?
Well, it's just really lazy. And that was a question that I had written down for you. Like, do you feel like the reason that people don't like Lane with Zach? Because I do think there are a lot of people out there that don't. I'm sure there are people out there that do.
A lot of people do. I've posted many a TikTok about Dave Rogowski because the girlies love Dave Rogowski. And people will be like, I preferred her with Zach. I liked the realistic relationship that they had. Mm. So some people like that.
Interesting. Well, I personally don't love her relationship with Zach. I don't think she should have ended up with him. I think if it was to be like we spoke to before, it should have been a blip. And then like, oh no, we're better off as friends and bandmates and this is better for the band. But all of this is to say, do you feel like people would have been more on board with her and Zach dating had she not had Dave?
I think so, simply because it's like, Dave was great.
Yeah. Well, there was never room for there to be too many issues with Dave, right? Because we got them in like the honeymoon phase of them trying to date and kind of sneaking around, and there's something very exciting about that. There was never any room for conflict outside of that to exist with Dave and Lane.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said before. Either you leave soon enough to be the Dave Rogowski, or you stay long enough to see yourself become the Dean Forrester, and like you have to leave in the way that he did. So I really think that that has a lot to do with it, of like, for like one brief shining moment, there was Dave Rogowski.
I mean, relationship wise for Lane, that was peak.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt. No notes. But I wonder if it's like because Lane's storyline got so messed up, like just completely, like how could they do this to our dear Lane? Like how could they build her up to only do nothing with her and take away the best relationship that there was for her,
and to not at least match it with one that was as good, if not better.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like I felt like they could have, and maybe this would have been like a, you know, season three sort of Jess thing, I feel like they could have messed up the Dave storyline once they realized that it wasn't going to go anywhere, and like, you know, like had it end with like a maybe like sour note, not sour, but maybe like that, like, oh yeah, this needed to end, like this ultimately wasn't right, so that she could have had someone so much better, to like almost like that he like was reaching for the stars and didn't quite make it, he was shooting for the moon and landed there, but then we have a man later on that comes along to shoot for the moon and he lands among the stars for Lane, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I just wonder if like they could have done that better, but ultimately we just have this like bright shining little package of Dave Rogowski who never did anything wrong.
And what's interesting about that is that even though he was on screen for like such a short amount of time, like that is peak Lane relationship. And for a lot of people in the fandom, like, he was the one. So, like, how did someone who was on screen for such a short amount of time...
Not even just Lane Kim. I just feel like as the show in general, like, he's the man that we hold aloft. How did that happen?
And we'll have more to say on that next episode. Follow us on Instagram at Gilmore to Say Podcast, and make sure you subscribe to us on whatever platform you're currently listening to us on now, as we will have a new episode out every Tuesday because we always have more to say.
And if you have more to say, find us on Patreon where you can support the pod, join our Gilmore Obsessed community, and access bonus episodes every month.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.